What's the name of the podcast, Ethan?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, it's not comedy.
It's not going to be a podcast. It's going to be a fucking train wreck.
I wouldn't say that.
Welcome to the podcast, Naveen.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming up, dude.
Second time in Newey.
Yeah.
It's becoming a habit.
I heard your first time went pretty friggin' well.
Yeah, I was happy about it.
Yeah.
I was so skeptical because I've never performed comedy in Newcastle.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, how the hell do I win the crowd over? But no, the crowds is one of the best crowds in Newcastle.
Newcastle's good for crowds, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were just so, like, off the show. Like, everyone's like, oh, it was really nice and stuff. So I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I really want to come back and perform.
Yeah, people get in and they're keen to laugh. Like, I don't know what it is about Newcastle. Everyone's just keen for a
That's
good
a
time.
Good thing.
Yeah.
That's
a good thing. Laid back.
You don't have, like, jaded intellectuals just being like, oh that's not funny for these reasons. And you're like, fuck off. Just have a good time.
Intellectual comedy.
Yeah.
And you're like, shut the fuck up.
It wasn't mater enough for me. You're like, oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry you didn't like my dick jokes.
Yeah. So you came... I was talking to Rodney on the last episode, and he was saying that you came down from Townsville.
I did,
recently.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
I lived in Townsville. I moved to Australia. So when I got the... Okay, let me start. So when I got the job in Australia, we had a branch in Townsville and one in Sydney.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, all right, you got the job. Where do you want to move? And I'm like, Townsville. And he's like, cool. And he hung up, called me back like 5 minutes afterwards, and he goes, wait, did you say Townsville?
Are you sure?
Yeah, literally.
it's fucking Townsville.
Yeah, he's like, you know we have an office in Sydney. I'm like, nah, I think I'm going to go to Townsville. He's like, are you sure? And I said, yeah. And I was like, when else would he ever get a chance to live up in regional Townsville?
Yeah.
But anyway, I thought I'd like check it out. But I actually fell in love with it. I was there for like 4.5 years.
Oh, yep. Dude, it's awesome up there.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
And
that
was my first Australian, like, city I'm visiting, so it was a great Australian onboarding, like an orientation.
Oh,
like,
yeah, North Queensland is no joke.
Like, thick.
Yeah.
Thick Australian accents. Everyone's
racist.
Like, boganized. So, yeah. And then I was like, if I can get through here, I can make it anywhere.
Yeah, dude.
Like, Sydney, people are like, oh, am I racist? I'm like, dude, I lived in Townsville. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I got through that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People on the weekends are like, hey, you want to go big hunting, mate? And I'm like, this is cool. Yeah.
And they're not like maliciously racist.
No, see, that's...
It's casually
that's
racist.
That's the thing. Like, I have... Yeah. I was thinking about this, and I was like, I'm a big fan of casual racism. Like, I love casual racism.
You're going to fit right in.
Yeah, us too. You should listen to this podcast.
Oh, yeah, I was, like, listening to you. I'm like, this is great. But I was like, I think what... When a lot of countries get wrong, like Australia, they're like, oh, you know, they're a bunch of racists or whatever. But I think they've, like, mistook the, like, where an Australian comes from. I feel like an Australian... the reason why you think they're casual racist is because they like channel their inner Steve Irwin and they meet someone brown like, ooh, look at that brown bug out in the wild, mate. Crikey. And you're like, you know how he like when he talks about animals, he's like so intrigued about how different they are.
Yeah.
And that's what an Australian's trying to do when you're like, you know, different from a different city.
Yeah.
And people think that's racist. They're like, no, that's just them being Steve Irwin. It's fine. Yeah.
Where did this one come from?
Yeah.
Oh, that type of shit.
Yeah.
They're actually curious. They want to know.
It's literally that. What's really funny is when I was there, like, I didn't really care about people being racist and stuff because you do hear the stereotype of Australia out there.
Yeah.
And just before I moved, there was like this news story in Melbourne or somewhere where like a Punjabi dude got beat up by a bunch of...
It wasn't Bobby, was it?
It definitely wasn't Bobby. Bobby would fuck.
Yeah, Bobby would have fucked him up.
And then I was like, oh my God, look what they're doing to people in Australia. I'm like, look, Punjabis can be annoying. I would punch the country. Like, fuck me. Like, who do you think you are? You walk out with like 5 meters of cloth around your head. Like, obviously someone's going to pick on you. You look weird.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
That's why Bobby took up jiu-jitsu.
And stopped wearing the turban.
Yeah.
They had, like, make a new segment, like, with the gi and with the turban as well.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
All this turban.
Yeah. No turban jiu-jitsu?
Like, put him in a headlock, and you're like, I can't get my hand around this.
That would be a funny skit, doing turban jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
That would be fucking hilarious.
Yeah, full gi, the turban.
You get, like, the Muslims with the gown, too, and you're like, with the... Like, he passed out, and like, I can't see. Just from the post box.
Yeah. How long have you been doing comedy, dude?
To be honest, I think I would say consistently for like 4 months before I left Townsville. So,
right.
Because in Townsville, we did have comedy when I started.
Yeah.
But it was like maybe we had like one show or two in a month.
Oh, yeah. That's rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you get on, sometimes you don't get on.
Open mics or like...
Yeah, books? Open mics. Right. And then, yeah. And then you used to have like this once a month where it used to be like a gig where, you know, people pay for it.
So you're fighting to get on open mics?
Not as much because there's very few comedians, but we just never had like venues doing it like on a consistent cadence.
Yeah.
Like how we like have it here in Sydney and stuff. There was none of that. So we had like literally when I started, that was when a bunch of comics got together and said, we need to start open mic things. So it was like us going, talking to venues saying, can you please let us in? And those things, they're like so shifty too.
And they're hard
flaky.
To get going. Yeah. Cause you're like hat in hand. Like, can I please just like tell dick jokes at your venue?
Yeah.
Like you don't have to even pay us anything, that type of shit.
Literally. Yeah. And they always give you that spot on Sunday.
Yeah, where Sunday's the worst.
No one shows up, and you're like, oh. But towards the end, it started to get better because when like the momentum started picking up, and we were like trying to like put up posts. That's when I say I would consistently did it for like 6 months or five just before I left. That was in 2020.
So you were involved in running that room as well.
I wouldn't say like completely involved, but towards the end, like you know, just making posters and stuff. Because I knew that if the comedy scene does well, like it really helps other comedians to like come out of the woodworks and like try comedy.
Yeah.
Because there's so many funny people out there. It's just that they don't get a chance to, you know, have like a space to come and say like, yeah.
Well, for ages we didn't even know that open mics were on in Newcastle.
Interesting.
We had no idea.
Wow.
When we first started, we were just like, I just happened to meet the girl who runs all the open mics through like a fire eating thing.
Wow.
I was like learning how to eat fire, and she was there, and she's like telling jokes and shit. This is Eddie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah, comedy, that's pretty sick. Like, I'd love to fucking
give
that a try.
Did you say you're trying to eat fire? Like the...
Yeah, I was doing like a lot of like circus performance stuff at the time. Like,
that's impressive.
Just hippie shit. Just taking acid with hippies and spitting fire and doing that sort of stuff.
I've always found like in Townsville after comedy shows, we used to like hang out with all the comedians and their friends used to be people from the circus.
Okay.
And like go to someone's backyard and you're like teaching them all these, like, what do you call like the, it's like a juggling thing with like ropes attached to that.
Oh,
like
poi.
Oh man, that is so hard. Yeah. I was like, this looks easy. No.
Yeah, you like spin them and then they get tangled up and smack you in the balls.
Smack you in the face and stuff. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, I had no idea that that was even a thing. Like open mic. I always wanted to do comedy. And I was like, oh, there's probably nothing around in Newcastle. No, there's fucking heaps.
Yeah.
Do you find like there are like similarities between circus performing and talking shit on the mic?
Somewhat, yeah.
Yeah?
Definitely.
Yeah, that's Maddie cool. B.
You've got to put yourself out there and like not care if you're doing bad.
Yeah.
Like especially when you're learning like a circus trick or something. Like if you're juggling, you're going to drop the balls. That's like fucking up a joke, I suppose.
Right.
There's crossovers there.
Yeah.
Any sort of performance, there's crossovers.
Yeah. They've usually got a spiel as well.
Yeah. Like
they've
got a bucket speech too.
Yeah, they got a bucket speech. Yeah. Mm. All of that stuff.
They're trying to collect tips after their performance.
Oh,
like
that's rough, man.
Yeah.
Like, that is rough.
Yeah, we had to do it here when I was hosting every week. I'd have to be at the end of the show, like, oh, if you like the show, like, there's
put your
tip
money
jar.
In this.
Yeah.
Here's my QR code.
And then people just walk past you. Like,
don't make eye contact.
Yeah. Like, fuck you. Yeah. You made me laugh the last 2 hours. You kept the show on the rails.
I saw
fuck you. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I find it like when I see buskers on the street and they like do that, like the hat passing around, or I'm like, I empathize so much because I could never get myself to like put myself in those shoes like on a day-to-day basis.
Rough. Yeah.
Well, fringe shows and things like that, if you ever do Edinburgh, like it's like free entry and people come in and then you do the show and then you've got to ask for money at the end of it.
Yeah.
It's the only way to get paid.
That's crazy.
Yeah. What were you saying about Matty B? How he used to do
Matty B
art.
Used to do it. Yeah. And he was talking about like fucking the man's he's like almost like a wizened wizard. Oh, Matty B. He's got like all these little anecdotes
he's
and
been
stories.
Around.
Yeah. Yeah. But he used to do busking as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. What did he used to do? It was it juggling?
Juggling, I think.
Yeah, it was juggling. So, yeah, he did that for like 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah. He's saying like he used to make like okay money as well doing it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they can because they, like, people that live that kind of life, they live in like a camper van out in the bush somewhere. They come into the city and then they'll do like a weekend, Friday, Saturday night, and then they'll earn like between $1,000 and $2,000.
Oh, right.
And so then they can just fuck back off into the bush.
And jump stones.
Yeah, no rent, no overheads, no electricity, no bills. You just got to feed yourself.
Crazy.
Yeah, so they just live that sort of life.
Such a different lifestyle.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But fuck, you'd be pretty stinky.
Yeah, it sounds good until you're 6 months in. You're like, fuck, man, it'd be nice to sit on a lounge.
I wonder how cushions feel.
Yeah.
What's these things you guys got called pillows?
Yeah.
We got another guy. He's both from the UK, and he's just a wild man. Like, he just gets obsessed with stuff.
Right.
And he was saying during COVID, he just went bush. Like, he just went bush.
Like a doomsday prepper bush.
Sort of, yeah. But he's walking around barefoot as
Not
well.
Brooks Bank, is it?
Yeah.
Brooks Bank.
He's walking around the bush barefoot, like, living like a wild man. So when he got back to civilization, he couldn't wear shoes anymore.
That's the thing about comedy. You meet so many fucking weirdos. It's great.
Yeah. I forgot to tie my shoelace.
Yeah. So he's walking around in, like, toe shoes. So we let him slide hilarious. For like 2 weeks, and then he walked up here one night, and everyone's like, "So, what's the go with these fucking toe shoes, cunt?" Like, it just ripped into him for about 10 minutes straight before the open mic started, and just he stopped wearing them after that.
Yeah,
which is like a win for us. Yeah, we got him.
You should have kept them. Keep them. The only reason I've stopped wearing my jacket, I started wearing like a suit jacket on stage with just like jeans and a t-shirt. But these fuckers ripped into me. They called me like trying to be Doug Stanhope, all this shit.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
I stopped wearing it, and I'll put this on the record, because it's too fucking hot to wear a suit jacket at the moment. Yeah.
Fuck comedy. You have to like look better than your crowd. Like, this is getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
That was great.
The comedians are the worst for that. If you're like starting to rise up, they'll fucking pull you back down.
Yeah.
Fuck you, cunts. I haven't met any comedian who's like, good job, mate. Never. You're just here to like get your balls busted. And that's what it's like the best part about hanging around comedians, because that's how you weirdly share your like camaraderie with somebody. Yeah. You just fucking constantly bust your balls.
If comedians aren't making fun of you to your face,
something's wrong.
They're definitely making fun of you behind your back.
That is so true. Yeah. And it's also so hard to like hanging out with comedians, and then you go back and hanging out with colleagues from work or people, and you're just talking shit.
Yeah.
And the other day I have this like, so I usually don't tell people I do comedy, because like at work, when someone, one of my pet peeves is when someone finds out you do comedy, they do this thing of, oh, you do comedy, do you? Can you tell me a joke?
Yeah.
And I was like, fucking hell.
Well, they give you jokes?
Yeah, they're like, I have this one, right?
That's worse when they give
and
you jokes.
And I hate it. Fuck, and I was like, I'm like, no, I don't have anything. They're like, oh, tell me something. This guy at work was... Right,
so I got an Auntie Bev.
Yeah. And then I was like, fine, I'll tell you one. And this is like ripped off from someone else. And I was like, how do you get a nun pregnant? He's like, you fuck her. And then the CEO was there. He's like, all right, is this what you're going to try? I said, yes. Now would you stop asking me for jokes? Yeah. This is what you're going to get. Yeah. No jokes after that. No one's talking to me. Yeah. And that's just stopped. I'm like, thank God.
Yeah.
You give him a terrible street joke and then be done with it.
Yeah. I'd be sweat. Do you think it's so like, I got a little dick.
I can show it to you if you want. Start unzipping your pants.
It's like half my set, man. I fucking was at work one day and we're having drinks after work. I got a spot here. So everyone's like, oh, fuck it, we'll go.
Oh, nice.
We'll go watch. Yeah. So, and it's like, this is like, I was working in like a corporate office. Like, so I said to my team leader, I was like, do not sit in the front row. Do not sit in the front row. I said, because I cannot deliver this material and make eye contact.
Right.
It's super weird. So she sits like right there. So you see where that lamp is?
Yeah.
So her face is the only face I can see. You can see, oh, it's lit up. I'm just hitting with the
spotlights on
so
you.
I've got a little dick. And I'll just like look just straight in the eye. I'm like, oh fuck. I hate myself.
Brutal.
Yeah, it's the last time I'll ever invite workmates.
Yeah.
The thing is like quite close to like a musician saying, oh, you know how to play the guitar. Can you play me a song? That works. Like as a guitar, you pull it out, you're like, I don't know, play Wonderwall or some shit for like 3 minutes. Comedy doesn't work that way.
Nah.
No, you need a room like this to perform it in.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's like, no.
It's weird.
It's weird. It's like,
And when someone expects a joke, they never laugh.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, it's coming. And like, you expected it. That's the whole point. You'd never
That's laugh. The worst thing about running bits by people.
That is
like
true.
If you've got an idea for a joke and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm thinking of this joke on this topic, like, what do you think? And if they're not a comedian, they'll just be like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
It gives you, like, it disheartens you. You're like, I don't want to try it now because they didn't laugh. You're like, but on stage it would work. Just trust me.
And then right. When the first time I tried open mic and I told a bunch of friends, oh, I think I'd tried an open mic. And I went back home to India and I didn't know this was like my first time. Like, I don't call myself a comic, but it was just like, oh, you can do an open mic. You can tell us jokes. And I thought, well, like, you know, if I can talk in front of so many people, I can probably run this bit by my friends and what I did.
Yeah.
One guy put up his hand in between. It's like, can you say that again? And whilst this was happening, and there was just no laughs. Oh. And I felt so scarred. And I came back and I told the comedians in Townsville, they're like, you never do that.
Yeah, you never.
People don't come back from that.
Yeah. Yeah.
People stop doing comedy. Never tell your friends or your family on a Christmas party. You never rehearse your stupid bits.
Yeah, nope. Nah.
I'm like, fuck, I learned the hard way. So I'd like crawl myself out of that. I'm like,
yeah. My dad nearly got me with that at like a recent Christmas like get together with my family. Oh. He's like, "Why don't you do?
Listen what he said.
Why don't you get up and do some bits?" I'm like, fuck off! No fucking way! I'm not doing that.
Do some crowd.
And the crazy thing is, like the comeback to that is like, "Why don't you fucking do it then?" But your dad's mad enough that he might. If your dad should live in North Queensland.
Yes.
Straight up. Yeah. He's got some opinions about minorities that he does not mind fucking saying in public.
Oh, hilarious.
Like, it's dude, fucked. He's like the ultimate boomer.
That's that monster truck bit that I do. Where
yeah.
It's like I've got bad genetics, like racist genetics.
Yeah.
And I have to be careful of that.
Yeah.
When it comes out, like you have Tourette's with racism.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. He's just lucky he found comedy instead of the Ku Klux Klan.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I really didn't like the hoodies they were wearing. It's too pointy for me.
Yeah. You can't have short hair anyway. Yeah. You look fucked.
No, that's why. Yeah.
It's like you'd never do it.
That now look like I've got cancer if I shave my head.
Yeah,
too pasty.
Yeah.
It's not good. It's
now that I look at you, this like, I barely recognize your eyebrows too. They're like completely
super faint.
He's like a cancer patient.
Yeah.
It's crazy. If you didn't have hair, you actually look. When you shaved your head that time, Ethan did what everyone does. He did the
The shave for a cure.
No, shave because he had a nervous breakdown.
That's good.
Let me look more socially awkward.
Yeah. He did the Britney Spears move.
It's not the first time. I've done it multiple times.
I know.
I've had multiple head shaves in my life.
I think you could like you get the part with the American history guy where you like put your the skinhead.
Yeah.
Forgot his name.
Fuck. What is his name? Edward Norton.
Edward Norton.
Put your face on the curb.
Yeah, I was heaps into Fight Club as a young man.
Yeah, so
that's also a dangerous path.
Yeah.
For a white
man. Like that's like the olden day red pill, I think. Like you start watching Fight Club and then you're into this weird space of, of like you start to actually meet other men who really enjoy Fight Club and like, you reckon we should start a cult?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's one here every Sunday. They watch the UFC. And I'm like, I need to get away from that.
It's fucking just last week we had the UFC here. Yeah. So Vox, it was just autistic screaming for 25 minutes. And most of it was me.
Autistic screaming. Oh, that's dude. Weird.
I was just fucking get involved. Yes. Just insane.
And then he lost.
Then he lost.
Yeah.
Those two people here who they were like mates with James or whatever. They weren't comedians.
Yeah.
And they probably weren't real big fans either. So when the decision got read, they thought Volk had won. So they're like, It's heartbreaking.
That is rough.
It was fucking rough. I was so upset.
I heard it's like, it was like a very close call.
Yeah.
I've been tipped in somewhere else.
Yeah. It was just like, I think it was, I think it comes down to bias. Like, if you scored, there's like professional fighters who've gone back and actually scored it and stuff.
Oh, right.
And done it like unbiased without any volume or anything. And they're like, nah, Islam won.
Hmm.
He got three of the rounds, Volk got two. But, like, it was one of the rounds that could have gone either way. That's right. What it came down to. It was like, I think Islam finished in the... It was one of the rounds where he was losing at first, but then he got him to the ground and just, like, held on in a dominant position. Mm. And Volk was, like, going off at him. He's like, oh, you fucking pussy. Like, punching him from behind and shit. So, yeah.
That's the equivalent of, like, comedy roasts, I think. You're like, who really did win? And you, like, listen to the audience reaction.
Yeah, yeah. Some of the fighters are fucking hilarious.
There would have been so many white people upset after that fight. So just like, this isn't the first time Australia's been destroyed by Islam.
Yeah.
They're going back through after the fight. Dan Hooker, a UFC fighter, accused Islam of fighting. What? And then they went back through like one of his old deleted tweets, and it said Islam caused 9/11. It was like one of the things. But in today's context, it sounds like he's saying the fighter Islam caused. Oh, okay. He's talking about the religion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Named after religion. Yeah. You're Catholic. You're Mr. Catholic now.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty sure Islam was like 6 when 9/11 happened. Yeah.
You don't want Mr. Catholic fighting. Last time he got a bit out of fucking hand. Yeah. It was a whole crusade thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy.
Don't take it too far.
So, yeah, you took out Raw, the Newcastle Heat.
Yeah.
And it wasn't without controversy.
I know. I read Rodney tell me something, and he's like, what have you done in Newcastle? And, you know, people are talking about it. And I had no idea because apparently it happened somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, I was like, oh, my God, is it the jokes I did? He's like, why? He's like, fuck, I think it's...
No.
And then I thought, because I...
If anything, my rock comedy, not far enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking, because I do a Kama Sutra bit in my Raw.
Yeah.
And I was like, are white people offended that I was teaching, like...
Yeah, because none of us know how to fuck.
Yeah. I was so, teaching all the white people how to fuck. And like, how dare this Indian guy comes up and tells our women how to fuck. Yeah. I'm like, he's starting a cult.
Yeah. Yeah, we're afraid. You can steal our women.
Yeah. Steal the jobs, steal the women. What's your point of fucking steal?
What's left for me?
Yeah. Yeah. Then I heard about it. And apparently there was, I don't know, the thing was like someone thought I booked Newcastle just so that I can like win Raw.
Yeah. So the assumption was, and I was very level-headed about it. I actually went into bat. I said, we don't know yet.
Oh, right.
We don't know.
That's why I'm invited here.
Yeah. Hot seat. Yeah. Yeah.
Like 60 minutes.
Yeah, but people assume that you came to Newcastle for a week of heat.
Yeah.
For a better chance of getting in.
Wow, totally.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Which, fucking Newcastle's a pretty heavy heat. Like, that's depending on who goes on.
I'll be honest with you, right? Okay, before I get into how I got to Newcastle. So, I was at the Comedy Store watching the heats with the Sydney thing. Yeah. I thought I really fucked up because I realized that Sydney's got like 10 heats.
Yeah.
And they pick two, you know, winners from each heat.
Yeah.
Newcastle just has one heat.
Yeah.
So if there's just two comedians who kill, you're out.
Yeah.
Which and can easily happen depending on who signs up.
Yes, because it's like one, like every, it's a concentration of all the good people. And I was like, oh, I really fucked up.
Yeah.
But no, the honesty was actually moved.
Yeah, no, everyone was shit.
I was so scared, man. I was honestly so scared.
I heard there were some good sets that went down.
Yeah, they were really good. I was like, oh, I should have fucking stuck in Sydney because, like, the probability of, like, having 10 heats and two people being really good at each heat is actually very little compared to, like, one heat where...
Yeah, you got a way better shot in Sydney.
Correct.
In fact, I'm going down to Sydney.
See?
Fuck you guys. I'm going down there to steal some spots. Because I didn't give a fuck. Yeah. I didn't care at all that you came up. I was like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
It's a game. It's a competition. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever edge you can get, fucking take it. I didn't care at all. I was like, fuck. I think it comes from, like... I had, like, a go-karting background when I was younger.
Oh, yeah.
And we had, like, state titles.
Millisecond.
Yeah. Like, yeah, down to milliseconds. That's super competitive. Nowhere near as competitive as comedy. But just, like, you'd have a state title. And if people come from Queensland, Victoria, all over the place and come to the one place to compete. And if they won, well, then they fucking won.
Yeah.
Because they were the best on the day. Mm-hmm. So I was like, just seems like that to me.
Yeah.
Like, if someone wants to come from Western Australia and fly over to do a heat in Newcastle and they win, fucking good on them.
Well,
that's the thing I found, like, surprising, because I was thinking, like, even the audience, when they come over to watch anyone, they really do not give a shit where you're from. As long as you can entertain a crowd. And if you get the crowd laughing, that's it. Like, what else have you got?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter where you're from. You can't go like, "How don't fucking laugh at someone else's jokes because they're from somewhere else." That's like asking, like your wife's like, "How dare you laugh at that another man's jokes?"
Yeah, so that'd be like if we went down to Sydney and people were like, "Don't laugh at him, he's from Newcastle."
Yeah,
like,
that's weird.
Fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Or if you went overseas and did comedy, "Don't laugh at this guy, he's from Australia."
I tried comedy in India once. In 2020, I left Townsville, so I wanted to go back home, spend 3 months with the fam for Christmas. And that's when the lockdown hit, so I got stuck there for 2 years. And I got back to Sydney on the 10th of, like, I properly moved on the 10th of Jan this year.
Yeah.
And somewhere in between, I was like, I wanted to get into comedy. And someone's like, "Oh, you should sign up for Raw." I knew about Raw, it happens like once a year and stuff.
Yeah.
But in the 2 years I was in India, I had never done any open mics, no comedy, nothing.
That's crazy, yeah. So a 2 year break.
Yeah, and I thought I lost.
Were you like riding through that or what?
No, because like I felt
it's
like.
So
it's
so hard.
Yeah, right. Because I felt. Then I realized that it's the ecosystem of you being around comedians is what really keeps your brain on its toes in terms of comedy.
Yeah.
And once you detach from that, you don't have like the same kind of. It's through shit talking is where you kind of actually refine your material.
Yeah.
Like with someone else.
Yeah.
And I didn't have any of that ecosystem back there. So I was like, fuck, I think I must have lost this. And so when I signed up to Raw, the only thing that was available was like the 31st or something very close to when I arrived.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I got to find a house. I got to like do open mics and like sign up for Raw. I think that's going to be stupid. So I'm like, okay, 10th of Jan. What's 1 month from 10th of January is like actually 10th of February or somewhere.
Yeah.
And Newcastle was the only thing available at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck it. Okay, let's just book Newcastle. Because I knew it was just like a train ride. I'm like, it's fine. Because at least it gives me 1 month to, one, know where the open mic scenes are in Sydney. Because I had no bloody clue of where these
And you haven't done it in 2 years.
Yeah.
But you're not just going to come straight off the plane and fucking jump straight into
Raw. That'd be stupid because I mean, in terms of strategy, I think that was what I was looking for. I'm like, okay, let me at least give it a good shot to Raw because I know it just happens once a year.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be stupid if I just like rock up and treat it like an open mic. That's just dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's Raw in general is just a good opportunity for people early on to get in front of like proper crowds who are there to see comedy because it's really like fucking hard in the beginning. It's the most challenging part of being a comedian is probably the first like year and a half, 2 years when you're just going to those fucking open mics and bombing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, you've done the Lewisham Hotel.
Half-time.
Gav's room. Or Lachlan's room now.
Lewisham. I've done the Nags Hotel. Nags Head. That
Pewee's
was like a
gig,
new thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was...
That's good.
When you have like a gig with... comedians don't laugh for anything.
No.
Like you put me in a room with, I don't know, Jim Jefferies. I'm like... comedians just like breaking up, like putting the nerd's hat on and like trying to like work out why is it funny. No one's laughing at your shit.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Putting yourself through that is just like one of the most horrendous...
It's running the gauntlet.
Yeah.
It's just like, yup, I'm here. we fucking... We went down 1 year. It was a couple of years ago now. Me, Ethan, Ronan. Was Mark there as well?
Can't remember.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Just like, just did Sticks and Stones. And was it, what was the other place we did?
It was one in King's Cross we did, I think.
Was it?
One of Seizure's rooms. When he was
it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of Seizure's rooms. And it was just like... it's like, oh, this fucking sucks, dude.
Yeah, but
it's not like it's not, and it's not the room's fault or anything or anyone there. It's just like you've got no like actual crowds.
Yeah,
and coming like if you come to the Stag and Hunter on a Wednesday night, there's usually a crowd.
Oh,
there's usually about 20 punters, 20 to 40 punters there.
Oh, that's good.
Like you'll get like a bar show that's like sold out some weeks. And it's just a fucking crazy crowd. And it's a rowdy crowd as well. Like everyone said, get fucking drunk and they're having fun. And then this place on a Tuesday night.
This will be full, pretty much.
Full.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
For an open mic.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they fucking, and they're great crowds too. Like they're there. So.
Wow. You guys are selling Newcastle.
Dude, 100%.
Move here. It's fucking going 100%, off
100%,
right
dude.
We have it's Sydney so by good. The balls.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you... and then you've got, like, the the Saturday showcase.
Yeah.
So if you start doing well at the open mic, James will start putting you on Friday shows.
Oh, sweet.
Start to get you, like, used to it.
Yeah.
And then he'll start introducing you to the Saturday. Like, they actually, like, invest in comedians and help them grow.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. They let me host the open mic here for about 3 months straight. So nice. I just, like, learned to MC and there's, like, a bunch of other comedians because Ethan was over in Europe. It was originally me and Ethan. We were running the show every week.
Oh, wow.
And then Ethan went to Europe. So, like, every week I just had a different comedian on.
Nice.
And I was, like, there to drive it. And then the other comedians were, like, just there to find their feet and be funny.
And now they're hosting as well.
That is so cool. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And, like, Bradley Bishop used to do it, like, quite a bit with me.
He's right. So fucking good now, dude.
He's so fucking good. Have you seen him MC a show? It's crazy, dude. He's nuts. So funny.
Yeah.
He's so funny. And it's just like, dude, you do not get, like, you definitely get those opportunities in Sydney. I'm not saying that. But it's not, like, specialised where you've got a group of people who are actually invested in making sure that the scene gets better.
Yeah.
Individuals get opportunities.
Right.
Long-running opportunities. Like, I got to fucking host here for 3 months straight, unbroken, all good, like, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. 20 minutes a night.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucking insane. I got so much better. Like,
that is so cool.
Yeah, so.
You say you did, but let's talk about last Wednesday.
Yeah, let's talk about last Wednesday. So.
Were you emceeing?
No.
No, he's just doing a set. No. Doing an open mic set.
Arnie Pye was Arnold. Luca, I can't pronounce.
That's
his last
why
name.
He says Arnie Pye.
Arnie Pye, yeah. So he's hosting, and it's a small crowd. Like it was probably about 10 punters,
right?
And there was a table of like oldies just to the stage. So the stage is in the corner mm-hmm. of the bar, and then just underneath the fucking stag head is like this table of six oldies. And
how old are we talking? 60s?
Yeah.
All females or?
No, it's couples.
Oof.
Yeah. And then Eddie puts over the speaker, comedy's starting in 10 minutes. And I looked at the table and they all looked around like, oh, there's comedy tonight.
Yeah.
And you saw them discuss, I was watching them, like they're discussing it and they're like, and you just saw, like, the nod of agreement, like, oh, let's see how it goes sort of thing.
Sweet round.
So, yeah, Arnie's hilarious, but didn't do a whole lot of time. I think he only did about 5, maybe 7 minutes. And it's hard to get, like, a small crowd going. So
did he get it going, though? Because once you've got it going, it doesn't matter if you haven't done 10. Yeah,
not really. Like, it wasn't, he didn't get, like, hot. The place wasn't like definitely wasn't cooking or anything. I felt like it was like probably lukewarm
for 10 people though.
For 10 people, it's hard. And I'm not saying it was his fault and his shit or anything like that. He's hilarious and his jokes were hilarious. So I get up.
He was like, this is as good as it's gonna get. All right,
pretty much.
First lamb to the slaughter. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah, so I get up and like I was doing okay, like getting some laughs, and then I did my Amish bit, and it's a joke about Amish people fucking kids. It's a real topic, you know. It's clever. Okay. Like if you hear the full joke, like the way it works out, it's a fun joke. It's a fun joke. I love jokes where you build tension.
It's high risk.
Yeah.
So I've hit him with that, and the crowd was, like, afraid to laugh. Like, I could see it. So there was, like, two lesbians at a table. Well, I shouldn't say they were lesbians, but one of them had a shaved head, and the other one was a lesbian. They were, like, laughing but holding their mouth.
Oh, no.
Yeah, like, they're like, oh, my God, like, laughing and, like, everyone else was laughing, but no one wanted to laugh out loud.
Right.
So I was like, oh,
you
no.
open with this?
No, oh, no, I didn't fuck. Open with that. Yeah.
Did
you call them out?
Well, that's part of the joke.
Ooh.
Is when everyone pulls back, that's my setup for the punchline.
Nice.
So anyway, I've done that joke. everyone liked it, but everyone was afraid to laugh. So I was like, fuck it, I'm going to hit him with Arnie Bev too. Why not? And Arnie Bev is a joke about a lady who has a stroke. Yeah, dude.
That old table definitely had a friend that
100%.
Had a stroke.
100%. So as soon as I delivered it, I looked one of the dudes in the eyes as I've done the...
Frog coming out of
your mouth.
And
they're all like, they all just went...
Oh, let's get out of here. This is getting too real.
I was like,
"You tonight?"
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like half the crowd liked it. Half the crowd was like, "Oh," but it kind of took the wind out of the sails for the next act.
Yeah.
Which was, who was it? I think it was. I can check the lineup. Actually,
do you think it took the wind out because you
it
killed?
Bombed.
The other. The other alternative.
The whole table left.
After my set, it was Mark Beattie after me.
Okay.
But after my set, they all got up and walked out.
Well, at least Mark's
like,
nice.
Yeah, I was just like, put in the group chat. I was like, oh, well, good to see I can still walk rooms.
So out of 10 people, how many did you walk?
Half the room.
One table was half the room.
Yeah. So I was like, they were probably going to leave anyway. It's like no one else was going to get up in that situation.
And like, yeah.
So anyway, so Ronan was shitting on me like, oh, cunt, you bombed. And I was like, Ronan, you would have fucking bombed harder, cunt. Yeah. Like at least I was getting laughs. Like I was getting laughs for half of it and they got afraid to laugh at some of my jokes because they're problematic.
Yeah.
And I get that. I don't hold it against them. But Ronan's like, yeah, after you were fucking done up there, half the fucking room's gone. Ronan.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, cunt. How'd you go? And he goes, all right.
No. He did not do all right.
So Ethan listened to his set.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I live with him.
Yeah.
We listen every day, just in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, the other part is when you're bombing and you're on stage, you realize you're bombing and you could feel the audience, like the quietness.
Yeah.
That is just next level. You're like, should I just like power through my set?
Yeah.
And should I not? I had one of the worst experiences is this was like one of those. I think it was the opening for Jax Barrett.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And,
hilarious.
Yeah, he's really good.
Fucking Jack.
Yeah.
Yuck.
And I did this bit of. I mean, I've refined it now, but I was thinking, like, the Indians invented the Kama Sutra to stop all the fat people from having sex.
That's a good joke.
I think so, too.
That's a good joke.
Yeah.
Kill the crowd.
Yeah.
Quiet. And then I was like, fuck. And then I was, like, doing all of these other jokes which I thought would usually bring in the laughs. Never. And then I realized, like, someone got offended, and it just, like, that feeling just percolated across the room.
Yeah.
And so I went, and people were like,
stuff.
How dare you make jokes about fat people?
Oh, fuck.
And I was like,
off.
First of all, this is my culture back home.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to make fun of my fat people.
Yeah.
But then I realized, like, that's where, like, when you make a fat joke, that just transcends racism. Like, people who are fat just, like, go across communities and shit, and they empathize.
Yeah.
It just, like, breaks barriers. Nah. And I'm like, no, like, Kama Sutra, you got to be, like, physically fit. I can't do it. You got to, like, you know, be very flexible and stuff. Yeah. So I thought, like, well...
It's like certain yoga positions.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not getting into that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm pretty sure it's, like, just stop all the, you know, the genes of love and coke and sugar.
It's survival of the fittest.
It literally is. Yeah. Like a saber-toothed lion chasing you.
Yeah.
Like, a fat cunt's never going to get away from
it. No, dude, I'm just a snack.
Yeah. I'm a happy meal.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I've got a joke about it. It's like, I don't want to crash. Like, I don't want to be in a plane crash and survive because I'm the first one who gets eaten.
Like in one of those Lost episodes, they're all looking at you all of a sudden. You're like, stop looking at me, cunts. You're not eating me.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I'd be this like, guy. Please, Hurley, please survive. Please survive, Hurley. Also, where's he getting all the food? Fucking six seasons, that cunt didn't lose a pound.
A lot of people went missing in that show, too.
Yeah, that's true. Hurley's eating people.
Breakfast, Oh, that's been such a funny parody for Lost. Just like, where did he go? And he just has, like, like a little bit of blood stuck to his mouth, hair coming out. Like,
the Ranger went missing and he's got like a red fucking tube hanging out of his...
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I was thinking this the other day. I was driving around doing my job. And I was like, fuck, I'm glad I'm not fat. Because, like, I have really bad, like, sinus problems and, like, I've got a narrow face.
Oh, you'd sound like a pug.
I snore when I'm skinny. Yeah. Like, I would die if I got fat.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, suffocate yourself.
Yeah. Oh, dude. I was like, I got really overweight for a period of time there, and it was, like, it was bad. I was waking up in the middle of the night.
Oh, because of the...
And, yeah.
Because his third chin was trying to kill
him. Yeah, you're fucking suffocating yourself. And I'd wake up in the middle of the night, like... And when you wake up and you're conscious from that situation, you'd think you'd just be able to, like, breathe, but it's like you've forgotten how to breathe.
Oh.
So you're, like, and you're, like, trying to breathe in air, and it's, like, not working.
Wow.
So the last time I, like, literally physically had to, like, get out of bed and stand up.
No
and
way.
I was like, oh my God, I'm going to fucking die.
Shit.
I was like, immediately the next day. Yeah, immediately the next day, I went and joined a gym. Like, not
That's
kidding.
That's what it took you.
Yeah. And it was funny because they make you fill out a questionnaire. And it was like,
Do you have any allergies?
yeah. And I was like super motivated. I was like 10 for all motivation. And she's like, oh, wow, you seem really, really motivated. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to die.
I saw Jesus last night. Yeah. I was going to walk into the light. Of course I'm here.
I'm fucking suffocating myself.
Oh, yeah. That sounds scary. Like,
it was
getting
fucking,
out of breathe.
Dude, it was fucked, dude. So I was like, yeah.
Imagine you had a housemate, you're like, I need CPR now. I've forgotten how to breathe. Just blow into my mouth. Give me something to begin with.
Oh, imagine how my wife would have felt. Just this fat dude standing up out of bed for no reason to her and just breathing heavily. Like, like I just went for a run. She's like, where have you been? No, I'm just fat. As you go downstairs, you don't usually breathe like that unless you've climbed upstairs.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Oh, dude. Another bad thing about being fat is, like, any slight incline when you're walking, it's like if you're walking and talking at the same time, it's just enough to take the wind out of your lungs.
Yeah.
So you start doing the big gulps, like, yep.
Hold a minute.
That
was like that gig that we did in North Sydney, and then we went for a walk through the Botanic Gardens. We went to the aquarium.
Yeah,
we smoked some weed, and then we're walking through the fucking Botanic Gardens, and you're just like, why are we walking so far?
I was like, this is terrible for my gout. I haven't really got gout.
Weed's also something would make you forget how to breathe.
Like,
weed Sonny's like, do you remember how you could do that? You can't, can you? And you're like, fuck, I can't.
Yeah.
How do I blink? Oh, my God. This is the rest of my life.
Fucking Ethan. Like, we should have been in joggers. Like, we should have been in hiking boots. And Ethan's like, oh, let's just walk down this He starts walking down, like, there's a part near the botanical gardens where it's, like, all of these on-ramps off a fucking highway. There's, like, traffic. And there's, like, signs everywhere. No pedestrians. Ethan's just, like, cross the road. And I'm, like, halfway through. We're like walking in this narrow gap, and I'm like, wait a second,
I'm too fat for this.
Yeah, I was like, I'm a 30-year-old fat dude. I'm not fucking running across three lanes of traffic, you fucking psycho.
I look like David
Goggins. I was like, dude. I was just like, oh man, this is retarded. Ethan's like, nah, it's fine. We'll save 2 minutes. Yeah, so he decides in his wisdom, he's like, fuck it, I'm going.
Yeah.
So I've literally just turned around and walked around the long way.
Yeah.
So after all that, Ethan just had to wait for us anyway.
It was good, I caught my breath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fucking aquarium's great when you're high, except for the children.
I was just farting
like
in the tunnels.
Yeah, dude.
Just kept farting.
There's no airflow in that place.
I don't think I knew that I had a gluten allergy at that point.
Yeah.
And we just had like,
what'd you eat though?
Probably just like schnitzel for lunch or something.
Okay.
And we just went down into the aquarium and just farting in these tunnels that have like no ventilation.
Guys, I swear the smell is the fish. They don't clean the fish. Fish is stinky. Yeah.
Oh, fuck,
it's not me.
Dude. It hit me in the face. I'm like, oh, fuck. We gotta go.
Yeah, I've hit it when people say, oh, I just like let someone out, like, you know, let one out.
Yeah.
And then I feel like that's the moment where you go like full Schrodinger on it and you're like, is the fart smelly or stinky? And it kind of exists at the both state at the same time until you go, and there's a little part of you that goes, A little bit.
You start smelling. You go,
just a little bit. Just to see where it lands.
It's way worse. Because you're like expecting
experiment.
It.
Yeah.
It's like if someone just comes up and punches you in the face and you kind of like, you're not ready for it. So you just limp and you just like take it. But if you're like bracing for it, you're like, oh, that really fucking hurt. Yeah. That fart had some kick.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the
sour faces. Those people with prams, like, oh, did my baby just shit itself?
Like, yeah. It was so fun. I was having a good time because I wasn't high at that point. And I was like, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
We're fucking. Yeah, I remember at one point it was just cops walking around and, like, you're smoking weed in a public place. It's, like, semi obvious.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember seeing, like, the cops walking around, and it was, like, the first thought, like, that paranoid thought in your head. Oh, someone smelt it and called the police. Yep. They're coming to arrest me. Yep. Fuck. My mortgage.
The house, the children, they're going to take everything.
Yeah.
I didn't see any police. So no. I think you're wigging out.
Yeah. No, they were like, walking towards us, and then, like, I went down on the boardwalk, like, to, like, steer clear of them. The worst one was we went to... Who did we go see? Louis C.K.?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Tanya's got the weed in her bag, and we weren't, like, smart about it. We just had joints in clear plastic bags.
Wow. Furry handbag or regular handbag? Could have been avoided.
Yeah. So they're, like, searching bags.
Wow.
So Tanya's like, oh, they're searching bags. I was, like, high out of my fucking brains. She's like, take it. So then I've just taken it, and then me being stoned and paranoid, I've grabbed it, put it in my pocket, and then immediately made eye contact with the security guard. Like, straight away, like, not sus at all.
Oh, no.
And then, like, for 20 minutes, we get to our seats. I'm like, they fucking saw that. Yep. They're just calling the police. They're going to come arrest me. Like, just the anxiety.
For a joint.
Yeah, for a joint. Oh, no. Ridiculous. And then I was like, halfway through the show, I was still paranoid about it, and I was like thinking about it.
You're barely even enjoying Louis C.K.
I wasn't even listening to Louis C.K. I missed an entire bit, and I was like, oh, fuck, dude.
What would I do in jail?
Yeah, dude, I know what I'd do in jail.
What the food is.
I'd be getting fucked. Yeah. That's what had happened, dude.
Suck the biggest guy off straight away.
Yeah.
Just go for the alpha male.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Nah.
And the worst thing, he tells you, like, I've had better cocksuckers, and you're like, fuck, couldn't
Oh, dude, can you imagine that? Yeah, can you imagine getting fucked by someone, and he's like, you're not even the best.
Yeah. And you're like, fuck.
You're like, you start like, you're like, bottom off those. I'll fucking show him. Yeah. Start day. Working out, working on my ass.
Just doing squats.
Just doing squats. Hey, fellas. See you in the shower later.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it just brings out my competitive streak in me.
Like, I'm going to get on top of this guy, I swear.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, no, I had a family member who just got out of jail, and the stories he told me, I'm like,
scary.
I could not survive. Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah, there was one guy in there pretended to be a bikie when he wasn't.
Oh, yeah. I was chatting to Andrew Hamilton.
Yeah.
Oh, super funny guy. And like, he's also like, does a bit about prison, and he was like talking to me.
Does a bit. All his bits are about prison.
Yeah. But he's got like, it's really funny though.
Nah, he,
like,
actually, I did an open mic with him recently. He was telling a story about being on mushrooms, and it was very good.
Yeah.
It was like the lead up to like how he got to where he got to.
Yeah.
So he's like working on other stuff now. It's good to see.
Yeah.
It was really good. And he was telling me of how even in prison, they've got like a different yard where it's called the boneyard, apparently.
Yeah.
Where they're like, they put all the pedos and everywhere, and then the rest is all like the normal kinds of shit that you see.
Yeah.
And if you get caught, the worst thing is if you get caught for a crime that you said you did and you didn't, where like if you come off as like, oh, I'm like a drug dealer, I've killed so many people, and then they found out you just like broke into a car, that's the worst kind of people in prison.
Yeah.
Like where you're trying to like be someone who you're not.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's really nice to see, like, ethics in prison with identity.
Yeah.
And people still, like, holding on to it.
Yeah, no, this is...
It's not... You it's can't not fake it till you make it
in
fucking prison.
This guy got, like, kidnapped.
Oh.
They, like, took him to a room and...
You beat the shit out of him.
Fucked him all night.
Yeah.
It's like they found him. Because they thought he escaped because he wasn't in his room. Because he was off down the cell block and fucked. Room. Yeah. Oof. And they found him under a bed, and then the next day they fucking caught him in the showers and bashed him.
Oh,
like just to add in like injury to insult, like right. Yeah, he went to like this, my this person I know, and was like, oh, you got to help me. He's like, dude, you got to go to the boneyard.
Yeah.
He's like, sorry. Like, yeah. I can't help you. You're fucked.
Just like, say you fucked a kid. Just go over there. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah. He's eventually, he's like, because he ran into him at one jail because he was at Parkley at first, which is pretty fucking, it's just one of the roughest ones. And then he got transferred. So we saw him at two different jails and he was just not having a good time. Just wow. Like, oh, dude.
It's like, yeah. You'd probably be in that predicament like Leonardo in the Shutter Island where he's sitting there. He's like, should I die as a fake bikey or would you live long enough as a pedo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like sitting on the stairs thinking about this dichotomy of what should I be?
Not good.
Yeah.
Speaking of banging kids, though.
Great segue.
I've been trying to write this new joke because we usually just like
Pitch talk shit.
New jokes at the end because we're at like 50, so fuck, we've done well. Ooh. Yeah, I'm trying to write this joke about, because my day job is like delivery driving for vending machines. I'm literally driving around in a van.
You're connecting people to machines?
Filling the machines up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Right.
So just like go around, and I have stock in the van. I'm literally driving a van full of candy around.
Yeah.
That's a fucking job.
Does it bang all windows?
No.
Oh, you're in.
Like any good van.
Yeah. So I'm like trying to write a joke about that job that doesn't instantly involve banging kids because it's just like the go-to is like, obviously.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how do I... But I want to allude to that the whole time. And like, I know what you're thinking. Like, say that to the guy. I know what you're thinking. And then like misdirect somehow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I need a different perspective on it.
Who else would need a can full of... van full of candy apart from kids?
The joke is like, oh, the kids have caught up. Now it's just fat dudes coming to my van.
Fucking fat dudes. They've all grown up. Like, kids won't touch it. They won't even go near the van.
Yeah.
You could do it. Where you're stocking the vending machines, but all the vending machines are actually empty. You're like, I wonder where the candies are going. Kids.
Yeah.
Or I was thinking that the angle that, like, because I do some jokes about being Jewish, like having Jewish heritage, and just being like, I'm not fucking giving away candy for free.
Those kids have got to earn it.
And we're back to fucking kids. It's so difficult
to write a joke. I know.
You reckon Michael Jackson had like a candy vending machine in his Neverland?
He had a fucking... He had his own version of... Yeah, Disneyland, essentially.
He had a kiddie vending machine, I reckon. A giant one.
You want the guy from Home Alone today?
Every race of three-year-old just on a shelf with a coil.
Dude. Like picking hookers in Thailand, just like...
People are
I
lucky.
Went to one in Thailand where it was like the top floor was like glass. And you could just see their fucking... They had numbers written on their asses.
Yeah.
Just sitting up, I like number 13.
I wonder if they're like the Chinese.
That's in Amsterdam as well. They do that in Amsterdam as well.
Like when the Asian restaurants rip off the brothels in Thai with the way you pick the menu off the numbers to how good it looks. Or was it the other way around? People are like, you need to know what you're getting.
Yeah. What came first? You go to some places, there's like a fucking prostitute train.
Sushi train. People lying on the bed. And you get a lick of pussy a little bit. That's not good. It just goes away.
Oh, no good.
And you see your friend looking at you like...
He's like, I don't like tuna.
Oh, shit.
There's definitely a bit there, dude. I forgot to tell you as well. One of the funniest things happened on Wednesday. So Stag and Hunter, a lot of Bogans turn up.
Yeah.
And Arnie's trying to do some crowd work. And he goes to this one dude. He's like, oh, what do you do? And like, some people just want to give like a cool answer, but they haven't got a cool job.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, I'm a pencil pusher. And he goes, oh, yeah, but what do you do? He goes, oh, like nothing gay.
I don't push the pencils into my ass. Yeah. That's what you're asking.
Into my own ass, actually. Yeah. Is that gay?
Like, and he's like, no one was insinuating it was.
But now we are. Now we definitely are.
so funny, dude. Yeah. I nearly fell off my chair. I was just like, I fucking love Newcastle. Yeah.
It's gay if it's sharpened on both ends. Yeah. Yeah. Choose the sharpened bit.
That means you've got to bring a friend.
Yeah. I'm trying to write a bit about why dudes can't be into crystals.
Oh, like the one of those healer kind of things?
Yeah. You can't be a dude.
Unless
just
it's a stripper named Crystal.
Yeah.
Crystal map.
Yeah.
That's the only crystal white guys are allowed to do.
Yeah.
You see your future crumble in front of you when you're seeing this.
Yeah, so just trying to be like, I can't be a dude and be like, oh, I forgot to charge my crystals last night.
Yeah,
so that's what I'm working on at the moment, trying to talk about crystals. I want to do a bit about that dude. Like, oh, ain't doing nothing gay. Fuck, dude. You're next level.
Yeah, it's the crystals in white people is just like, when I see white people also teaching yoga, I get the same thing. I'm like, why? Just leave it to the Indians.
Yeah.
You can't even pronounce half the names.
It's all right for you to steal our jobs, but the second we start doing it to you.
I'll tell you like a funny segue with the first racial encounter was when I moved, everyone's like, I was expecting the white people to be racist. Like, I'm like fucking like being looking at all the white people saying, it's going to come from you. But my first racial encounter came from an indigenous drunk woman.
Oh, yeah, man. Aren't they good? They're good fun, aren't they?
So good. Like, 8 o'clock in the morning, I was walking to work, and she's like, awful chops.
Yeah.
And she's like, get the fuck out of this country or where you came from. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Dude, you need to work on your Aboriginal accent.
I know.
I mean, I'm trying to hit it back with the, you fucking dumb daddy dog. What the fuck?
Stop
fucking stealing our jobs. And I was like,
what?
Okay. I'm sorry. I was like, fuck.
Like, lady, you never had a job.
Yeah.
What am I going to steal?
Here's my laptop. Resume your career in programming.
Yeah. Not because she's Aboriginal, because she's shouting at people on the street. Yeah. Right?
So I was like, that's when I knew, like, racism is just like this. Like, no one can understand what's going on. Because I was like, I was like, hey, we've got the same team uniforms going, okay?
Yeah.
You can't be racist. I mean...
Yeah, the last time
that's how it felt.
People from another country turned up here, it didn't really work out for them. So you can't really blame them, can you?
James Cook, get the fuck out of your country!
Dude, they used to throw rocks at us. We used to live in this place, this town, Taree. I was like walking down the street one day, and it was like a rock just like landed near me.
Wow.
And like it was me and a bunch of friends. And we were all just like, oh, we've got to run now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They would have probably, because they would have been like, you know, since the beginning of time, they're like, this worked on the dinosaurs. I work on people too. Fucking hell, the rock. Well, like people show up with guns, like, fuck, what guns?
The rock's the warning shot. The next is the boomerang.
Yeah.
Fucking duck that shit.
Yeah. Fucking wild, man.
Yeah,
are you working on any bits?
Yeah, one of the bits I'm working on is actually, I realized I've met, like, the first time I actually hanging out with Indian people in Australia, because fucking there's no Indian people in Townsville. I was kind of happy about it.
Yeah.
And then I ran into a bunch of Indian people in Sydney, and turns out that all of these Indian people are woke now. Like, it's weird to see Indians woke.
Yeah.
Because, and I was very once, I'm trying to work this bit where I was like, honestly, I really felt disappointed, because we've got real problems back there.
Yeah.
And then you guys have convinced all the Indian people to, like, buy organic shit.
What do you mean, you guys?
All the white people. The woke thing is such a white problem.
It is a white problem. Yeah. It's always white people.
And
I'm getting offended on behalf of people.
Yeah.
So I'm like trying to do this. Like, I'm like working on a bunch of stuff where, like, because we have real problems and now we've become oversensitized too, is because we've got access to clean drinking water and a break from diarrhea every 3 days.
Yeah.
So now
you've got all this free time.
Sensory things goes like, oh my God, what do I have to worry about now?
Yeah.
And especially I think the women, the Indian women here are like, they've gone completely nuts. You give them access to a dishwasher. And then the next
This is perfect.
And they become like fucking armchair activists. Like fucking growing out the pubes and shit. And they're like, yo, you can't do that. You got real problems.
Yeah.
Please don't become woke.
Like,
we can't afford as a community. There's a billion people turning woke. That's not good for the planet.
Dude, there's still people getting eaten by tigers in India.
I hope as those, long as that happens.
Yeah, those people aren't woke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those people have got problems. Tigers. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I can't take like when Indian people go, oh, you can't make fat jokes as well. I'm like, if there was any community that's allowed to be fat, it's us. Because we have the best cuisine in the world.
Yeah.
It's only sensible we get to OD on it.
Yeah.
Like when a white person gets fat, I don't go there because I don't understand. How the fuck do you get fat eating shit food?
Potatoes.
Potatoes, dude. Potatoes and beer.
Yeah.
Potatoes and
beer. How many bulimic people do you see in India? Zero.
No.
Because the food's so fucking good. Yeah. It's fucking meth.
Yeah, dude. I know.
So yeah, that's kind of like...
literally my favorite food.
Which ain't walking Indian past food. A naan bread if it's on offer.
Dude, I can't. Yeah. I can't. It's so good.
Garlic naan, so good.
Oh, can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
This makes me shit myself.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, the gluten.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Not fucking good.
Yeah, it's not worth getting gluten-free naan.
No.
What's the point?
Yeah. Or you just go to India and just like override your system to a point where you're like, someone has to give in.
Yeah, just fight it down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to lose part of my fucking intestine.
Yeah.
Shit, I'm going to have to cut it out.
It's worth it.
Yeah. But yeah, fuck, man. Oh, Indian food's so good, but luckily I can still eat most of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because most
curries
of it's like,
and rice.
Yeah, things. It's not. There's no gluten in that. So yeah. It's fucking awesome.
I feel like that's like Indians just went the Kama Sutra, something to do with sex and food, and they're like, fuck it, that's it. We've contributed to the world.
Yeah.
We're good now.
Our friend Bobby's got this great bit. He doesn't do it anymore because he smokes a lot of weed and forgets his bits. That's exactly what happens.
Are you supposed to come with more bits? Oh, but then you forget it.
Yeah, I used to have this bit about ordering this fucking epic Uber Eats meal, like Indian food. He's like telling us all these fucking awesome dishes. And he's like, and then halfway through like my meal being delivered, the order gets cancelled. He's like, that motherfucker stole my food. He's like, yeah. Fucking hilarious. Yeah. He's like, you can't trust Indian people. It's hilarious, dude.
Yeah, especially when you're like Uber Eats it. Like if you're driving and you got like Indian food in the backseat, your car is going to smell like korma at the end of this.
Yeah. It's... Yeah. Yeah. I fucking... Oh, dude.
You're convincing me. I'm going to Dabi Raj after this.
Do
I'm
it. Kidding. Yeah. Do it.
I might... I got to set tonight. I can't be eating.
Are you performing tonight here?
Dude, it's like carbs. Just don't get naan bread. If you don't carb yourself into a coma, you'll be fine.
But why are you worried? What do you think about Indian food and set? Is it like your pre-show ritual? No Indian food?
No, no heavy meals.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'll go do a small meal of dumplings.
Oh, yeah?
It's like one of my go-tos. Yeah, or I'll do ramen downstairs around the corner. There's a
I'll drink a bowl of soup. Nothing heavy.
Pee on stage.
Well, no, it's like drinking, drinking a big fucking broth. Yeah,
it is really fucking good.
Yeah, and it's like reasonably healthy, and it's so fucking good. Yeah,
good.
Had it last night. I was like, they know me in there.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hey, Mitch. Like, yeah, fuck so yeah. Good. Yeah. Like, where you been? Oh, I got a
number
new job.
Seven again?
Yeah, they know. Like, they're like, yeah, creaming soda and tonkatsu ramen.
There was this one restaurant in Townsville where, like, it was a Thai restaurant, and I went there like a couple of times, and the next time she like started to get like, you know how Thai people try to want to do the whole customer service?
Yeah.
And I was like, can I get the pad Thai? She's like, pad Thai again? And I'm like, yeah. Like, how hot would you like it? Mild, medium, or hot. And I said, isn't that like an Indian thing?
Yeah.
With the options of mild, medium, hot. I'm like, didn't know you guys did pad Thai, mild, medium, and hot. But she was trying to be nice because I was an Indian.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think
that works. That's actually good that they were like, we'll change our menu. They used to get, like, a lot of places will get offended. If you ask something spicier than it's supposed to be.
Can I get sriracha on that? And then you're like,
That's
that Crookshank bit, how he's like Thai food. You can kind of mix and match with whatever meat that you want with the dish, whereas like Indian food's like locked in and Chinese food's like locked in.
Yeah.
Like you can't get like, well, you can get chicken korma and lamb korma, but it's like if it's there, that's what it is. That's what you're getting.
Yeah. Yeah. No one's getting honey lamb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No chicken black bean here.
Yeah.
You gotta put in the passcode if you have to change.
Yeah.
There's never open. Put the secret code in.
It's a fucking good bit.
Yeah. So when's the Raw finals?
It's on the 21st of March.
Yeah, sick.
And Yeah, I think I've got a spot here tonight. Coming at
7:30.
Yeah, I ran into Elliot.
Fuck yeah,
train.
Man. That'll be
and
sick.
And he's like, I was like, I'm kind of Newcastle. Hey, do you want to like, you know, do a 5-minute spot or 7-minute spot? I was like, dude, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
Fucking love 100%. The audience.
Yeah, man, you'll have a good time.
Yeah,
be sick.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it might be fun.
This yeah. So you just got some time to kill now.
A bit.
Yeah, 5 hours. But yeah, it's a funny coincidence that you ran into him on the train.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got some time to kill.
On the way back, or...
No, it's like on Thursday, I was dropping a friend off, and then I was just ran into him. And I'm like, hey, I'm coming to New Week for the podcast. And he's like, hey, if you're coming up, well, you know, if you want to do a set. I'm like, fuck yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's so sick, because I like G'd him up to go to that gig down in Sydney.
On
Thursday.
Right.
I was like, you should go do this one. And he was like, yeah. I went down and did that. So, fuck, there you go.
Wow. Yeah, the universe. Look at that.
The universe, man.
Everything just aligned. That's cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Because the last time I did my Raw set, I wasn't able to finish my set. Like, the buzzer came on.
Right.
And it was an annoying buzzer, too. Someone's like, they'll play music. It was a fucking fire alarm. Just goes, beep, 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 beep. In between my set. I was like... It just threw me off. And I was like, ooh. I was like,
you really got to time it out.
Rushed it out. So,
because they've got strict timelines there, because they're paying so many people to keep that place open at like any one time.
Right.
It's not like here where you can just have like sort of one or two people.
Also, someone might be doing something completely fucked.
Yeah.
They need a loud alarm to be like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was like in your face alarm. I was like, whoo.
Yeah.
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 All right. Let's fucking wrap that one up.
Yep.
Oh, lads, it's been fucking great time talking to you guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming up, man. Appreciate it.
We'll fucking do it again. Next time we'd have a 3-hour podcast just like fucking talking shit.
Well, we can keep going if you want. We can do a Patreon episode.
Yes, you want to do a Patreon?
Fuck yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm keen to.
Yep.
I need food, though. Like, real bad.
Let's go grab a bite to eat.
Yeah.
Have you eaten yet?
No, but I just had like a late breakfast, so I'm good, but I could have a tiny bite.
Yeah, let's go fucking... Have a quick bite to eat. We'll come back. We'll fucking do a Patreon. Subscribe to our Patreon. Check out Old Mate Bentley on Instagram, Mitch Coin Comedian on Instagram, and the Newcastle Comedy Club. Soon to be world
plug?
Famous.
Check them out.
You got an Insta?
Well, by this time this releases, you won't be at my show, so
there you go.
Doesn't matter.
But you got an Insta?
I do.
Yeah.
100% fudge.
100% fudge?
That's great, dude.
At 100% fudge.
Yeah.
Sick. Don't send nudes if you're a guy.
Definitely sending you my dick after this. Bye.
See ya.
See ya.